Justin Peck is a soloist and the resident choreographer of New York City Ballet. He has created more than 25 works for a range of companies, including New York City Ballet, the Paris Opera Ballet, San Francisco Ballet, and Miami City Ballet, just to name a few.
Yep. In 2011, NYCB Ballet Master-in-Chief Peter Martins designated Justin to receive New York Choreographic Institute's first year-long choreography residency. Peck was named New York City Ballet's resident choreographer, the second in the company's history, in July of 2014.
And as we mentioned, his latest work, Scherzo Fantastique, will premiere here at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center on Saturday night for SPAC's 50th. It will be his 11th work for the company. And Justin Peck, it's very nice to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
So what is it like to do a piece, especially for an anniversary?
Well, I think with an anniversary, there's usually certain parameters that are set into place, something that's going to celebrate the founding of places. With this project, it's specifically about SPAC and relates to SPAC and to Saratoga Springs and the company's residency here that's been ongoing for 50 years now, which is pretty remarkable.
How do you come up with a name for something like this?
A name?
Yeah,
the ballet? Well, this one was easy, actually, because it's actually just the title of the music. So it's a piece that Stravinsky wrote.
Of course.
It has a nice ring to it. And actually, I find titling ballets to be the hardest part.
And how do you do it? I mean,
tough, it's because you kind of have to, put a word or two words or three words that'll give a clue into the work, or it's something that'll be associated with the work forever. So it's kind of like getting a tattoo or something.
Do you sit down at the table and have a glass of warm milk? I mean, how does tricks?
It's usually urban? It's hard to come up with a title until the ballet's been created. And it's usually takes like a few weeks, really.
Really?
There's usually a lot of different ideas that I write down, and then eventually we hone in on a specific title.
It turns out that this is a good question. Go ahead.
Okay, so did it come down to where they said to you, oh, it would be great if you did this with Stravinsky, or is that your choice? Did you get to make that choice?
A little bit of both. I talked with our director, Peter Martins, about this commission, and he was kind enough to give me the opportunity to create this work on this great occasion. And he just asked for it to pay homage in some way to the history of the company and their relation with SPAC and George Balanchine and Stravinsky. And there's all these kind of like moving parts floating around. And I went on kind of a search for what that would be. And I landed on this piece that Stravinsky had written when he was very young. And
how young?
I don't know his exact age, but he was in his 20s when he wrote this. Yeah. And the piece I think he's clearly influenced by Mendelssohn. And you can really hear that in the composition. And it was a piece that Balanchine never choreographed. And so I guess, it was a way that connected all these moving parts. And also I found the music to be really compelling and a nice addition to our repertoire here at New York City Ballet. And I think also the orchestra has really been rising to the occasion, and they've, from what I've heard, they really enjoyed playing this piece specifically. So that's great.
Do you play a musical instrument yourself?
I don't.
So how do you think
anymore?
Anymore.
Well, I mean, when I was a
your mother made you take piano lessons.
Yeah, yes. I took piano, and then I continued studying at the School of American Ballet. They have a music program with a great teacher named Jeffrey Middleton, and so I took classes there, and then some private lessons, following up to that for my first year or two in the company.
Yeah, so when you create, you don't sit there with your hands on the keys and...
No, but sometimes I'll listen to the music and read along through the score to just get sort of a lay of the land, understand the work a bit more structurally.
So for all the people who want your job, they have to know how to read music.
You don't have to read music. There's a lot of choreographers who don't read music and still make wonderful work. I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to be a choreographer. But... You know, there's a whole spectrum of understanding of music for choreographers working today. You have like Mark Morris, who is so thorough and dives into the score and carries it around with him in the studio when he's choreographing with the dancers. And then you have other choreographers who really aren't musically inspired, and they're more process and movement driven, and might completely disassociate from the music. If you look at like Merce Cunningham's work, you know, he would develop these really amazing choreographic thoughts and ideas, patterns, and
but God rest his soul, sometimes people didn't know what the hell he was doing. I mean,
didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, do you want people to understand it a little bit more and have it less abstract?
I'm a very musically driven choreographer, so I always respond to the music. That's my starting point. Whenever I start a new piece, it starts with the music, and the music acts as my blueprint, and it's all sort of, it feels like I'm having a conversation with the particular piece of music. And...
Yeah, but following up on Joe's question, how important is approval of your audience? In other words, are you disassociated from that, or are you thinking about what might please them?
I think I disassociate from it, but I'm also, I think my work might appeal to a more mass audience. I think that's just like the aesthetic that I'm interested in and the aesthetic that I'm interested in presenting.
So we've been talking about the music element. We've been talking about the dance element. There's also an artistic element to this in the backdrop. Talk a little bit about that and how that came about.
Sure. So the backdrop is by a really talented artist named Jules de Balancourt. And he is an artist who's he's based in New York, but he works also in Paris and in Los Angeles. And I met him actually through another artist named Marcel Dezama, who I collaborated with on another ballet called The Most Incredible Thing. And I just fell in love with his work, and I thought that he would be the perfect collaborator to come on for this particular commission.
How does that help with the visual of what we see in the audience, of what we see on stage with the dancers and that background?
I think it allows them to associate a sense of place with the ballet. And I, you know, Jules kind of works in between the literal and the abstract, and I was really attracted to that. And I thought that he could create something that could speak to the audience and also speak towards this specific commission. And
Does it have a Saratoga theme?
It doesn't have a Saratoga theme, but it has, you know, visually it has these...
A horse?
No horses. But it has like a sense of shape and color that I think the Saratoga audience will really respond to and be able to interpret.
So I noticed that you're incredibly young. That's heady stuff to be this successful at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I only know what I know, and it's been like an amazing journey so far. And I, you know, I have a lot of ideas and a lot of plans, and you know, I hope to keep going and to keep presenting work here for the Saratoga audience.
Now, when you say plans, do you mean your future, or do you mean plans for individual projects?
I think plans for individual projects and ballets, and also just, you know, carrying on my relationship with this company, and there's something really kind of special about being able to build upon a relationship such as that.
when you do a commission like this, as we mentioned, Scherzo Fantastique will premiere on Saturday night as part of the gala. And then does it have a life beyond that? Will it work out of that? You can bring it elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, every ballet kind of has its own life to it, and you never know how audiences will respond to it, or how I'll feel about it, or my director will feel about it. But
does that mean you fall in love or fall in hate with
some
of your work?
I think you do, and over time that changes. Luckily with this piece, it'll have a little bit of a life following up. It goes the next week here in Saratoga. When is it? It's on Saturday, July 30th in the matinee. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to come back during our winter season at Lincoln Center as part of an all Stravinsky program, which is actually a really interesting program that Peter Martins has assembled.
So. What do you think of theater, of dance critics?
Of dance critics?
Yeah, what do you think of them?
I think they have a tremendous knowledge of this art form, and I think it's really important that they're present and contributing in order to keep the conversation of dance alive and thriving. And
what if they're stupid and get it wrong?
Well, I think it's such a subjective art form, and everyone's really entitled to their own opinion. And there's been, many times where I meet eye to eye with a critic, or I don't meet eye to eye with a critic. But to me, it's all about... it's really all about a conversation.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Justin Peck's latest work, Scherzo Fantastique, will premiere here at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center on Saturday night for SPAC's 50th. Where will you be watching it from?
I'll be watching from out front. Yeah.
Okay,
great. Yeah, with my family.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And that doesn't drive you nuts? That's fun?
I mean, at this point, yes. Once upon a time, it did, but... I think I'm at an age now where I really appreciate it. So
that's great. Again, it is going to be premiering on Saturday, and as Justin mentioned, it will also appear on during the matinee next Saturday, a week from this coming Saturday. You can find out more information and see the whole schedule by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Justin, congratulations on all the success and the great work, and we thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.